Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hello, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. This episode, you're going to hear about this month's new releases in Christian romantic suspense. I hope you will enjoy hearing from your favorite romantic suspense authors as they talk about the background of their latest books.
I'm delighted to welcome Kelly Underwood to my show today. She's going to be talking about her latest romantic suspense book, Guarding Truth. So welcome, Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we're going to start with your heroine, and I'm glad you picked this question because I just thought it was kind of a fun question. But what does your heroine eat for breakfast in this book?
So my heroine is Juliet Montgomery, and she is a professional bodyguard. But she kind of has a sugar addiction, and so all through Guarding Truth, you're going to see her, you know, they stop at a cafe, and she's going to load up on bear claws and any kind of sugar. So funnel cake, I mean, you name it, she's going for the sugar. So if she works out extra hard, she runs so that she can eat sugar.
I love that. I love it. Give the lady some donuts. I think that's great.
Exactly.
Yeah, so what about your hero in this story? What is holding him back from finding love?
You know, Caleb is the hero of the story, and he just kind of has a rough past. You know, he has a lot of loss in his life. And so what's holding him back from finding love is just all of those past losses. You know, he thinks if he risks his heart, it's too big of a risk. So he's not a risk taker, which is interesting because Juliet is very much a risk taker. So they're a little bit opposite in that respect, but he doesn't take risks, especially when it comes to his heart, because he's had too many people, you know, either leave him or die, or anybody that he's ever deemed, you know, I'm risking my heart, and he loses them, like that kind of stings and stayed with him.
Exactly. Well, opposites do attract. I love that.
That is true.
That is true. So let's switch to the villain. Why did you decide to make this person the villain?
So it was a little bit of an interesting spin because the villain thinks that he or she is doing the right thing. It's more of a vigilante type thing. So it's about a network of hackers. And, you know, they're kind of doing the Robin Hood thing where they're, like, you know, stealing from the rich and you know, trying to give back to people who they deem should have had money. So it's kind of an interesting twist on things because, yeah, the villain, they're obviously doing something wrong, but in the villain's mind, this is totally justified.
Yeah. Well, we don't always pick the right thing, do we?
Exactly. Yeah. And even though if you have the right motive, you're still doing the wrong thing. But it just kind of was that interesting. I was kind of going for that Robin Hood theme of, you know, we're going to steal from the rich and give to the poor and feel justified in doing that. But, you know, of course, they hurt a lot of people along the way, too. And so just kind of an interesting spin on the villain.
Yeah, I like that. So let's talk about the setting. Why did you pick this setting for Guarding Truth?
So I'm part of a series. So this, you know, is based off of Lynette Eason's original Elite Guardian series. And then, you know, with Sunrise Publishing, we were able to come along. Sammy A. Abrams and Kate Angelo and I were able to come along and take characters and be able to kind of build the series up, kind of a reboot. But we were able to take that the concept and move it. And so we picked Savannah, Georgia. And we actually, the three of us got together and we toured Savannah and kind of picked out, okay, this is what the office would look like. This is what our houses would look like. And we just kind of wandered around Savannah picking out things. So it was super, super fun. But we just kind of picked that setting just, you know, the three of us just kind of came up with it on our own and thought this would be a great setting for another three-book series.
Oh, great. That's always fun, especially when you can, if you've not been there, to look at it in person.
Exactly.
Yeah, so what was the hardest part to write of writing this book?
So I think that the hardest part of writing this book, I don't know if it's true, but people always say like your sophomore book is harder to write than your first one. I think I ran into some challenges, but also just personal life. I had some things happen, and it's like the timing just was very busy and lots of stuff going on. So it was very hard to kind of, work between personal life and getting the book done. But I appreciate working with Sunrise Publishing, fantastic editors. And so I had a lot of people coming around me helping me get it in shape through the editing process. But I think part of the hardest part was just the timing in life and some, personal stuff going on and stuff you can't control.
Yes, yeah, that can always eat into our writing. But God, as Christian writers, God gives us different situations, and we have to kind of just work through them the best we can. So I'm glad you got the
Absolutely.
book done. The book's done.
Yes,
The book's done. It'll be
absolutely,
out there.
absolutely.
So
Yes,
we're going to close
exactly.
our short time together right now, Kelly, with what's one thing you want readers to know about guarding truth?
I think I want readers to know just kind of about the whole series in general, and that this kind of has taken on a life of its own, starting with Lynette Eastman's original series, and then us being able to write the reboot. It's just been such an honor and a privilege to kind of write in this series. So I hope that readers, take into account my book, but then maybe you'll want to pick up some of the rest of the stories. They all kind of stand alone, but they're all within the same theme, if you have a lot of crossover characters and that type of thing.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. This has been fun.
I'm delighted to welcome back to my show Jessica West. We're going to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Deadly Stalker. So welcome back, Jessica.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So your heroine in this story, what did she want to be when she grew up, and did she actually become that person?
Yeah, she wanted to be a teacher, and she's a sixth grade English teacher.
Ah, sixth grade English teaching. That is definitely a calling.
Yes, it's true.
Definitely is. So yeah, it's a fun age though. So good for her for being able to cram some grammar and stuff into their heads. I know this is all fictional, but we like to think our characters are real, so we can pretend.
Yeah, we do.
So, what about your hero in this story? What is his greatest fear?
So his greatest fear is that he'll end up like his deadbeat dad, and actually he actually does. In part of the story, he's running away and he acts just like his dad. He doesn't realize that, but he actually turns into his dad.
But I hope, and I know we all write happily ever after, so hopefully he will, make a course correction and not live like his dad. So there's hope for him. There's hope for him in the story, I'm
Yes.
sure. So let's talk about the villain. Why this particular person? And feel free to use the, like I always say, the they pronoun if you need to not give away the gender.
Yeah, I'm not. I wanted a villain that no one could guess. I read a lot of suspense books, and I can always guess the character, like, I don't know, right at the beginning, and it's kind of aggravating. So I wanted someone that readers couldn't guess offhand.
Okay, and how did you do that? Can you give us any clues?
So it's kind of a fun fact. I don't ever know who the bad guy's going to be until like the middle to the end of the book, and then it just all ties together. So I didn't know who he was, or I just said he. I didn't know who the person was
That's okay.
until then, toward the end. So, it's just,
Okay.
I didn't know either, so it's exciting for me too.
Yes, yeah, that is always fun. Now let's talk about the setting. How do you feel that moves this particular story forward?
So of course it's in East Tennessee, and because there's so many different settings, they could be at the mountains or the lake, the countryside, the woods, there's so many settings, so there's so much that entails. So that's why I picked, besides we live here, but besides that, there's so much we could write about.
Right, yes. You have more options to and
Yes.
dangerous situations to put our characters in.
Yes.
Yeah. What about the underlying positive message of Deadly Stalker?
So the underlying message is that God offers forgiveness. You know, you might have destroyed your past or even your present, but God can turn a mess into a blessing, and he's done it so many times.
Oh, I love this. I love that we, as Christian writers, we can infuse our books with that kind of positive truth from God. And now we're going to wrap up our short. Wrap up our short time today with what's one thing you want readers to know about your book?
Okay, so at the reading, I want them to see this amazing truth that if you're God's child, you may stray away from him, but he has never moved away from you, and he's waiting with open arms to bring us back to him. That's an amazing truth.
That is. That's a wonderful thought for your readers to have when they finish your book. So thank you for sharing with me and my readers, our listeners today.
Thank you so much.
I'm delighted to welcome Kimberly Woodhouse to my show to talk about her 40th book. This is very exciting, my listeners, 70 North. So welcome to my show, Kimberly.
Thanks so much for having me.
So before we dive in, I have to say 40 books. Does it feel like 40 books, or are you still like, I can't believe I've written 40 books?
You know, it actually doesn't feel like that. You know, there's oftentimes I'll be teaching at a conference or something, and I'll say, you know, I still feel like a newbie. And then I think back to, you know, people will ask, when was your first contract? When was your first release? And then when you think of the year and what year it actually is, you're like, huh, wow, okay. Maybe I am getting a little bit older.
Well, you're still writing, and I'm thrilled that we get to talk about 70 North. So we're going to switch gears a little bit and dive into your heroine. Who did she want to be when she grew up? Did she become the person she thought she was going to be as a kid?
You know, Tracy wanted to be a doctor. She wanted to be a physician and heal people. But she went down a different path, and she ended up being a medical examiner at the beginning because she thought that that was what she wanted to do, to be able to help people have closure. And it was the path that she had gone on because her dad was in the military and they lived in the D.C. area, and it just seemed like a really good fit. So then some crisis happened and a horrible experience happened to her as a medical examiner, and she went back to school and finished everything to become a surgeon. So she still is in the medical field, and she did become a doctor.
Ah, that's great. Well, you know, I like it when that can work out for our for our characters.
Yes.
That is fun. So what about your hero? What is his greatest fear in this story?
Well, Mac has a whole lot of backstory that happens in the first two books, which is 26 Below and then 8 Down. So by the time we get to 70 North, Mac is very wounded, and he is in a dark, dark place. At the beginning of 70 North, he has lost the people closest to him, and revenge is very big on his mind. And so at the beginning of the story, he really, his greatest fear is not being able to stop the man who took his family from him.
Yeah, well, I think they're in a bit of a pickle, aren't they, already? So, and then we add the villain. So who or what does your villain love the most?
Grizz is a very fascinating character, and I really had a lot of fun writing him and getting into his head and studying all the books that I had to read and all of the psychological, like forensic people and everybody that I talked to and interviewed. It was really fascinating to me to get into the mind of someone like this. He's brilliant. And he, in the depths of his heart, I think he truly believes that what he started out doing was to help people. But where he's progressed to at this point, he is so off the rails. And he's an addict. So he loves himself the most, and he loves attention. the most. He loves chaos. So he loves creating chaos, and he loves the attention that he receives from it.
Ah, so what about the setting? Why this setting for this story? Why did you pick where it's set?
Well, this whole series takes place in Alaska, and Alaska is very near and dear to my heart. We lived there for several years. We lived in the bush, and we also lived in the city. So we experienced all aspects of Alaska living, and it was so much fun being part of reading groups and book clubs and stuff like that. And people were always so discouraged that most authors got Alaska wrong because they were like, you have to live here to actually get it accurate and get it right. And because I love the state so much, it's my favorite. I've just probably half or more of my 40 books take place in Alaska. So this actually also goes into, you know, why and the beginning of this whole series, the Alaska part. So I'll hold off for the next question.
Yeah. So the genesis of this story. So go ahead and tell us how this particular story came about.
Well, this story is these three are probably the most connected of any series that I've ever done. And it all began when my husband, in 2009, I was going back and thinking through, okay, what else do I want to do? You know, what suspense do I want to do next set in Alaska? And my husband always says he's not creative. he's not a reader. He's very black and white, and yet he comes up with some of the best brainstorming ideas now, and he's really good at that. Well, one night he rolled over, and we were asleep, you know. He rolled over and wakes me up, and he says, hey, I have an idea. I'm like, huh? You know, I'm half asleep. What? Power in Alaska goes off. You know, there wasn't any other pieces to it. He just said, you know, what if? And he rolls over, goes right back to sleep. Of course, my brain is spinning at that point.
This
is how this series was birthed, was 26 Below and then 8 Down is book 2 and then 70 North is this book, the book that has come out. And so I had all these wonderful pieces and I was waiting and I've had the stories in my heart for all these years. And then my daughter married a cybersecurity specialist, and he's way up in the Army. I call him my high-value target because he's got all of this specialized training in the Army and what he does. He was with the Army Cyber Institute at West Point, and what he does now, we can't even know anything about it. We can't, you know where he works
right,
for his office
right.
or anything. So it's pretty amazing what he was able to give me, the cyber element in this book, in this whole series, which was just phenomenal, and the things that I learned. So it's kind of fun that this story and this whole series started way back in 2009, and then it has kind of morphed and grown as our family grew, and it's so exciting to see it out now.
Yeah, that's so great. That's fun. I'm sure our listeners will not be able to wait for this book to come out. So we're going to close our short time together, Kimberly, with what is your book's tagline?
Well, if I may, I want to start with 26 Below because the tagline for that one is brilliant. And it says, a curse, a killer, a chill in the air, temps are dropping, and time is running out. And I love this whole series. I love how connected they are. I love 26 Below. It's been a big hit with the readers. And then 8 Down was just nominated for the Christies. So it's a finalist in the Christie Awards.
Mm.
And it's a continuation. And it's just a really fun story about a serial killer. And he's leaving clues in the crossword puzzles, 8 Down. And then we get to 70 North. And from the villain's POV, the tagline is, it was time for final judgment, and there was no one who could stop him now.
Ooh, creepy, but good. In a good way, in a good way.
In a good way.
Well, thank you so much for sharing about 70 North on my show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. You are a huge blessing to all of us. You're amazing.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhamakerfiction.com.